listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life service for Wednesday, November 16, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly. Good to have you with us. Dr. Vicki Hunter is on vacation this week, so she won't be with us. We do have Michael Kelly here to help out. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, good evening, everyone.
Again, welcome to all those joining us for the live program, as well as those listening. Guys, we appreciate your time. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, I guess I need to stop to make sure we're still connected. Are we still connected, son? We're not still connected.
No, we're still good.
Oh, we are?
Yep, we should still be live.
Okay, because my Skype was giving me funky messages. Any rate, in addition to our weekly program, we have several other educational programs which are all listed at metaphysicalhumanism.org. They include empoweredrecovery.com for help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, metaphysicsinstitute.org, our flagship school where you can earn your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, and Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org, which offers standalone courses in metaphysical topics. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief, which is customary. There are 9 principles of belief. The first one is do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings, consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, to read the full text of these 9 principles of belief, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. All right, so tonight we're going to talk about overcoming obstacles and achieving goals, and then we're going to also do inner oracle card readings for those of you who would like a card pull in the live audience. So if you would like a card pulled, feel free to put your name in the chat room and we'll make a note of it, and we'll get to that here in a few minutes. All right, so let's talk about overcoming obstacles and achieving goals. This seems to be a constant refrain in human life, doesn't it? We all want to overcome the adversities of life, overcome those speed bumps, so to speak, achieve our goals, and that's good. I mean, that's what we are as a species. We are explorers, and that is as it should be. So I guess I could use an analogy here for overcoming obstacles. At least this one I was thinking about over the last few days. Several months ago, I decided that I needed to start exercising. Didn't really do much of that. So I started riding a bike. I mentioned, I think, that a time or two on this program. So I started riding a bike. That was last May. And, you know, I went around the block and it about killed me. I mean, I hadn't really ridden a bike since I was a kid. And of course, when I was a kid, I rode the bike everywhere. And it's funny because I never thought in terms of, well, how many miles did I drive or ride today? You know, as a kid, I just rode everywhere. And so anyway, last May, I started riding and, you know, did a half a mile, then a mile, then a couple, 3 miles, and just built up. And now about every day or so on average, I'm doing at least 15 miles. And it's great. You know, I've kind of caught the bug, I guess, the biking bug. I never thought I would, you know, it's like two things people who know me just can't believe. You know, number one, I started a church. Number two, I became a cyclist, you know. But it's good and it's helping. And one of the reasons I wanted to do that was not only to get in shape, but also to get rid of the diabetes stuff, the type 2 that I was diagnosed with a couple, 3 years ago. And I'm happy to say that that's all but gone. I'm not on any medications for it or anything. My blood sugars are all normal. And it feels good, and I'm losing weight. I've lost about, I don't know, 25 or so pounds. I plan on losing another 50. Not that there might be nothing left of me by then, but I'm sure that it will help. And, of course, my knees don't hurt so much. My feet sure don't hurt as much anymore. So, anyway, so that's what I've been doing. And one of the things, the reason I'm even bringing this up is because over the last few weeks, you know, of riding, I mean, you get out riding, and sometimes it can be a windy day, and sometimes you got a headwind, and sometimes you got a tailwind. And if you've ever been on a plane or done any biking, you probably know what I mean. You know, when you have a headwind, that means the wind's blowing against you, and when you have a tailwind, it's blowing from behind, so it's pushing you along. And I'll tell you, those tailwinds are sure nice. I get going down the road there and get a tailwind, and I'm cooking along, and I'm thinking, wow, this is pretty easy. I could ride his bike all day long doing this thing. And it's great. But then when you get a headwind, especially if it's a brisk headwind, wow, that's tough. I mean, you got to bicycle, you know, bike against that wind and fight it. And the other day, it just gotten to the point where, you know, I've tried to go when it's not so windy, but I just say heck with it, I go. And if I have a headwind for part of it, a tailwind for part of it, that's usually the case. But sometimes it's like the wind shifts, and I have a headwind going this direction, and I turn a different direction, I still have a headwind. I said, what's up with that? But it reminded me of what life can be like at times. Sometimes we have a tailwind, and a lot of times we have a headwind, and sometimes it's a brisk headwind, and it's a challenge to move forward and to move through it. And that's what I tell myself. I don't care if the wind's blowing against me anymore. I push through it. That's just the way it is. I'm not going to let it beat me. And that's almost the attitude that we have to have in life. When we have challenges, when we have obstacles, we can't let them break us. You know, who's more persistent, you or the problem? If the problem is more persistent, then it's going to win. But if you're more persistent, you will win. And you'll win every time as long as you're more persistent. You just push through it. You fight that. You move into it. And you keep going. Because there's no other way. There's no other option. We keep going. And that's probably the most important aspect of overcoming obstacles. There are going to be obstacles in life. That's a given. And I don't think that life has to be made up of only obstacles all the time. And those obstacles come about as a result of choices we've made. You know, I look back on my own life, and I know that a lot of the problems, the obstacles, the adversities that I've had in life are because of choices I made. It wasn't that I meant to make those choices. It wasn't intended that way, but it was due to inexperience and, you know, inexperience. And so you make choices, you try to make the best choices you can, but sometimes they're the wrong choices. And we only figure that out once we've made the wrong choices and then learn what the right ones are. Don't forget that adversity, which is what obstacles are, adversity is nothing more or less than a state of disorder. If you put things back in their proper order, the adversity goes away. use the analogy of a cluttered room. If you've ever had a cluttered room, you know what I mean? You go in and you look at the room and it's a cluttered mess. And it's what adversity is. It's a cluttered mess. But if you go into that room and you clean it up, you put everything back in its place, you get rid of the clutter because the clutter all goes back to where it belongs in its proper spot, its proper order. Now the room's clean and the adversity's gone, so to speak. And that's the same thing with us in life. We make better choices, we keep more order in our life and less adversity. But when we do find ourselves facing some obstacles, sometimes they're just a little bit beyond us. I mean, they're not everything that comes about as a result of our poor choices. And that's a kind of I don't know how to even put it. It's a thin line, I guess, because, you know, a lot of times I look back and say, well, I didn't want to make that choice. That wasn't what I wanted. I made the choice, the decision, yes, but that's not what I wanted. So how can that be my fault? Well, it's not so much that it was someone's at fault, so to speak. It's just that you make certain choices and you get certain results. That's just life. If you're a farmer and you sow corn and expect spinach, well, you're going to have a problem. That's not the way it works. So you've got to make the right choices, plant the right seeds, and to get the right results. If you do this, you're going to get that. It's the law of cause and effect. And so when you're in that situation, you want to do some problem solving. And the type of problem solving that comes into play is almost the 180 principle, you know, contrarian thinking. A lot of times we have problems, we don't know what to do. And another little nugget that I've shared before, and I'll share again, is that sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside your belief system. In other words, it's a solution that you would have never considered before for whatever reason. For example, you know, long, long time ago, back in the day when I was like 22, I married somebody who later became an alcoholic. It's not what I intended. It's not what I wanted. But that's what happened. So I went through a lot of adversity, so did Michael. A lot of crap because of that alcoholism. It's not what I wanted, not what anybody deliberately chose, but that's what resulted as a result of my choice to marry that person. That's just life. That's just a fact. Okay, so now I've lost my train of thought. I apologize, but where was I going with this, Michael?
Well, we were talking about putting things in their proper order.
Yeah,
to get rid
okay.
of adversity.
Yep. So that obviously what I did, I put it in the things in the proper order eventually, a little later than I should have, but I did, and the adversity went away. And I know there was a point, but I'll circle back around to it. The thing is that, I know what I was going with it. The option to divorce was not within my belief system because of religious beliefs. That was not a choice. That was not on the table. Divorce was out of the question. And that was the solution that was required to get away from that situation, to take Michael away from that situation when he was just a young boy. You know, that was the solution. But it was outside my belief system, and that's why it took me so long. So sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside your belief system. You have to expand your belief system, especially in the face of tough problems and tough obstacles. Now, that's just one example. There's all kinds of different obstacles. They're not just relationship obstacles. There's all kinds of them. But sometimes we've got to make the tough decisions because that's what's required, and we have to expand our belief system. We also need to use the 180 principle. Basically, means you ask questions like, what should I not do to resolve this challenge, this obstacle? And write it down. You have to explore all of your options. And if you come across one that says, yeah, that would solve it, but I can't do that, you have to ask yourself, why? Why can't you do that? Is it because it's not within your belief system? Is it because you need to expand your belief system? Because that might be the only solution to the issue. Any comments so far, son?
Actually, one thing that I keep thinking about, and this has been something that I've thought about a lot over the last few weeks, but it's kind of a key principle. It comes to that point of when things are out of order, there's adversity. And it's a saying that, I heard a lot growing up, but it's, do what you should do when you should do it. And things will fall in line. You won't have any problems. And I think that applies in any number of ways. It can be the mundane, take care of the chores and things before they pile up and it becomes harder to do. Or it could be on a whole nother level, such as a personal relationship or a place that you know, that you're just not, it's not healthy to be in. So you can, you just need to do what you should do when you should do it, meaning take care of the problem instead of having to suffer longer and take care of it later.
Good points, and I'm glad you brought that those points up. That's good. Do what you should do when you should do it. I mean, that is, in my opinion, the secret of success. And the kicker, though, is knowing exactly what you should do and especially when you should do it. If we could just know those two things all the time, we'd be successful in everything we touched. But that's the challenge, and that's where experience comes in. And that's why it's so important. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say, and I just, you know, think to myself how often how have I known that it was time to do something but procrastinated, put it off, tried to think, oh, I can go a little bit longer, don't have to deal with this now, and it just turns into a bigger problem later. So I feel like oftentimes we do know when we need to take care of something. And,
good point. You know, that brings in another one of my sayings. You know, if you've got a problem, you've got a choice. You can either take care of the problem now, or you can suffer longer and still take care of the problem later. But either way, you will take care of the problem eventually or die from the pain. So if we have something that we need to deal with, we can deal with it now, or we can suffer longer and still deal with it later. And that's a lesson I had to learn the hard way, too. So the big choice is, do you want to... You know, you're going to have to deal with it sooner or later. Do you want to suffer longer or do you want to take care of it now? That's the choice, you know. You can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. But either way, you're going to deal with it or die from the pain. In the chat room, Fran mentions them. Esteem plays a part in there somewhere, and she's absolutely correct. And that's the whole concept of them esteem has been on my mind for the last week or two. And I look at so much of this world and I think, wow, what a huge role them esteem plays in so many things. And for those of you who may not be familiar with the term, you know, there's self-esteem, which means internal expectations and validation, and them esteem, which means external expectations and validation. People with self-esteem validate themselves. They have their own expectations. They meet those expectations, and they validate themselves. People with them esteem only feel good about themselves when they're doing what other people think they should do. So they're getting the recognition from other people. So their self-worth is contingent on what other people think of them. And on whether they're doing something. So this can come into play in all sorts of ways. You know, children, even adult children, may only feel good about themselves when they're doing what their parents approve of, even if they're adults. Religious leaders, you know, I'm doing what my religion thinks I should be doing, so I feel good about myself. I don't really want to do it, but I feel better about myself because they think I'm doing right. That's them esteem. If you look at the world, wow, you'll see them esteem everywhere, in politics and business. You know, you've probably heard about those honor killings over in the Middle East, you know, where somebody does something like, you know, marries the wrong person and so they get killed because they call it honor because their honor has been impeached or their honor has been attacked, so they have to kill somebody for it. That's them esteem. What will people think of us? If we don't act on this, they won't think much of us. That's them esteem. And if you just start looking for them esteem, you'll see it everywhere. Celebrities everywhere, even in everyday life with people. Most people suffer from them esteem to one extent or another. So yes, and then that certainly brings up its own challenges, doesn't it? You know, you got to walk your own path. You have to be who you are, and you have a right to be who you are, regardless of what other people think. What they think is none of your business. you have a right and an obligation, a responsibility, human responsibility, to walk your own path and to be who you are. And, of course, this means to know who you are and why you are who you are. You have a right to walk in your own path without the judgment of others. That doesn't mean they're not going to judge you, but it doesn't really matter, does it? There's too many important things to do in this life, in this world, in your life, to worry about what other people think. It's just not worth it. And at some point, I hope, most people get that. But I fear that even some people in old age don't quite get that. They die still infected with them esteem. So that was a good point to bring up. Any comments, son? I don't want to keep going if you've got anything to add.
No, nothing to add at this point.
Okay, and Fran mentions marketing plays on the them esteem card all day long. She's absolutely correct. Hey, get this, and you'll be just like, you know, you'll be the envy of your neighbors. You know, keeping up with the Joneses, that kind of thing. No pun intended, Fran. You know, I am a Jones, family's Joneses, mom's side, all Joneses from Arkansas. Anyway, another point that I wanted to add, and I would also like to reiterate before I add this point, is that if you would like an inner oracle card pulled, please put your name in the chat room. We'll get to those in just a minute here. One of the other points that I want to make in connection with overcoming obstacles and achieving your goals, because you overcome your obstacles, you're going to achieve your goals. And that's the concept of how hard can it be. I run into this all the time. It's like this social conditioning. People are so used to not having to think, so used to not having to look for themselves or figure it out themselves, that they're constantly wondering, you know, asking people for help or to do this, to do things that they should be doing themselves. And you know me, another one of my teachings is that don't do things for other people that they could and should do for themselves. That doesn't mean you can't do a nice. It just means don't make a practice of doing things for other people, adults I'm talking here, that could and should do it for themselves. And it is, even applies to children to an extent too. But of course, you've got to raise children, you've got to ease them into that. But they still should take care of the things that they should take care of. But the thing about it is, how hard can it be? If you've got a problem, figure it out. If you have a question, figure it out. At least do all you can to figure it out. And this is one of the things I try to instill in my students as well. I get at times students will not understand why they got a question wrong on an exam, for example. And so they will email me and ask, well, what's the right answer? And you know, it'd be real easy to, oh, yeah, that right answer is, you know, choice A or C, you know, whatever. But I'm not doing them any favors by doing that. All the answers are in the study material, and I direct them back to that. Go look it up. Use keywords. You know, search the PDF document for the keyword in that question and find that answer. It's not my job to serve it to you on a silver platter. It's my job to coach you. It's my job to instruct and teach you and to help you learn how to figure it out for yourself. That's a valuable, priceless thing that I try to instill in my students. So, and I tell them, look, if you've got a question, I'm here to help, but you got to try first. You got to try to look it up. Find those answers yourself if you can. Now, if you've worked at it, and you can't find it, then fine. I'll be happy to help, and I'll show you how to do it and where to find it and how to do that, and that's what I do. I'm happy. I'm not trying to be mean about this. I'm trying to help them stand on their own 2 feet. You see, this little tiny little thing about how do I find the right answer in the study material actually has great, big, huge implications in life, because if you can't find an answer in a book, how are you going to figure out life? And that's why we need to get in the habit of that attitude. How hard can it be? People just like you and me put men on the moon. Or we didn't, you know, we never went to the moon, but that's beside the point. Just kidding. We can do anything, folks. The human spirit is indomitable. We can do anything we want. Don't ever say that's too hard. Don't ever back down. Don't ever do that. Don't ever say that's too hard. Don't give me all the reasons why you cannot do something. And I tell this to my coaching clients. I've told it to them for years. I don't want to hear all the reasons why you can't do it. Don't give me that. Don't give me that. It's offensive to me. As someone who has pushed through and has figured it out and how to do all the stuff I've done with the school and a zillion other things I've accomplished in my life, I figured out how to do it, and I kept going, and I kept beating on it and kept hitting it, you know, so to speak, and I kept at it until I figured it out. Now, yes, there are times I've had to ask for help, very rarely, but I've had to ask questions. Most of the time I just figure it out, look it up. That's what the internet's for. You know, you look it up. You can find all kinds of solutions, and you might not find the exact solution, but you'll find something that gets you brainstorming and gets you turned on to the right solution. So I don't want to hear how hard it is. I know how hard it is. Life's tough at times. You know, life can be fearful at times, especially in the last few weeks of the presidential election. A lot of people are afraid. We can't live in fear. We cannot do that. That's not the way to live our life. We can't live with the attitude of, will I ever make it? Will I ever accomplish what I want? Yes, you will. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't give up hope. How hard can it be? You know, you are entitled to the same good things in life as anyone else, no more, no less. There's plenty for everybody. Go out and get your fair share. Do no harm, do right. Don't hurt people in the process, but demand from the universe your fair share and go after it. And if you stumble and you fall, you get up, you brush yourself off, and you still move forward. Sometimes we've got to retreat, regroup, and attack again. That's fine too, but don't ever give up. Ever. It's look, we can do this stuff. It's not that hard. Now, finishing sheetrock walls, taping with plaster, that's hard, okay? I'm really bad at that. I'm kidding. But the things in life are just out of, if we're seeing adversity, we just got to put it back in its order. That could mean making some big changes. And when we make changes in relationships, it's going to polarize your friendships. Some are going to go one way and others are going to go the other way. It's just life. Remember, you owe it to yourself. You have a responsibility to yourself to walk your path, to live your life, and to realize your full potential. Any comments?
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't throw one of my favorite sayings right there along with how hard is it. Another one I got from you, as a matter of fact, it's everything is easy once you figure it out.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's always been one of my favorites and always something that I tell myself kind of as a synonym phrase to how hard can it be.
Yeah.
And I was thinking also about what you said on the chaos that we've had the last couple of weeks, and I think that you're absolutely right. We can't live in fear, and instead of focusing on the fear and the what if and the what might happen, we need to focus on being a positive force for good in the world and in our communities.
Good points.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what's really shocking is how much of all that stuff I said you actually remembered. good job, son.
I'm glad
you remembered it. All right. So if anyone has any questions on any of this or any points you'd like us to discuss, put them in the chat room. Otherwise, we're going to go ahead and start pulling cards. And I'm assuming you have a list, son.
I do.
And, of course, Michael's going to pull a card and read them, and then I'll make any comments I feel like making, and we'll move on to the next one. So just for the purposes of those who may not know what the inner oracle cards are, they're simply brainstorming cards. They're self-discovery cards. Each one has a face value, a point, a saying on it, if you will, and it all corresponds to what is taught in metaphysical humanism and all what is taught in our school curriculum at IMHS or metaphysicsinstitute.org and Thomas Francis too. But it's there's some excellent points in here, and it gets you thinking, and that's the point. So
Mm-hmm. Right, well, the first request is Tabitha. And let's see, I'm pulling a card for Tabitha. And I have actually number 37, groundedness.
Good one.
Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions, and weigh them against the facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts, or you have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Good. Groundedness, obviously, is one of the primary aspects and primary features of our school curriculum and really the church. Everything we do, we try to remain grounded and objective and look at things realistically while having an open mind. And groundedness is an important thing that will keep us, keep our feet on the ground, our head on our shoulders, keep us reasonable. And every time I hear that groundedness, I always think of all these reality ghost TV shows, you know, and other paranormal stuff. You know, I almost can't watch them anymore because they hype them up so much beyond reality that, and a lot of people buy into that stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But remaining grounded is essential. Keep your head on your shoulders, your feet on the ground. Don't, you know, remain reasonable. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in popular beliefs simply because they're popular. Use your critical thinking skills. Weigh them carefully. All right, who's next?
Next we have Fran. And let's see. Fran, I pulled number 19. Invoke the counselor within.
I don't get that one very often.
Yeah, it actually doesn't pop up too terribly often, come to think of it. Well, here we go. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
All right, so this also figures into our discussion on overcoming obstacles. Sometimes we need to brainstorm with a confidant or somebody we trust, and that's fine. You know, when you seek the counselor within, you invoke the counselor within. That just means seek your own guidance. Don't ever leave that out. Always, any advice that you get from a trusted friend or confidant. Life, and make sure that it fits for you. Make sure it's something you want.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think we might have lost you there for about a 5-second stretch. I don't know if they caught what you were saying.
Okay, I'll just repeat it. This card is good for overcoming obstacles because we need to invoke or seek our own inner guidance, the counselor within. We need to, we can seek advice from others, from a trusted friend or confidant, but we need to make sure that it also jibes with who we are and it makes sense to us for our path. So seek your own counsel. Yeah, you can ask for advice, but ultimately the choice is yours. Ultimately, you are responsible for the decisions that you make. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Now, I did not see anybody else, so please correct me in the chat if I missed you.
Yeah, if you want a card, go ahead and put your name in there again or request it again.
All right. And while I'm waiting for anybody to catch up and notify me if I did miss some, I'm going to go ahead and pull one for myself if you don't mind.
Yeah, please do.
All right, this is... I pulled number 43, expediency. All right. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it. That's just fantastic. I can't tell you how personally thrilled I am that I picked that card for our discussion tonight.
Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. These cards are, it's interesting how it happens. I can't explain that. You can pull a card and it's uncanny is the word I'm looking for.
And I pulled it from the middle of the deck, and you don't know this because it's on radio, but I actually idly shuffle the cards a lot of times as I'm listening or talking. And, yeah, that was very interesting. But I think even the previous card, too, Invoke the Counselor Within, kind of even lightly touches about what you were speaking to earlier, where you have folks that will basically ask you for the answers. Well, I think part of Invoking the Counselor Within is being able to find your own answers and building the skill set to find your own answers so you don't have to rely simply on what other people are telling you.
That's my boy. Yeah, that's a good one, son. I'm glad you made that connection. That was perfect. I missed that one. You're absolutely correct. And the skill set to find those answers, excellent, excellent. All right, since we're on a roll, why don't you just pull one for me?
All right. Let's see. Again, pulling from the middle.
Probably the blank mind one, right?
It's actually not too far off. It's wild card number 6, Entropy.
Entropy.
Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Stupid cards. You gotta love it, you know. Yeah. You gotta love it because that applies and something I'll think about and ponder over the next day or two or three or whatever, and I'll have to read that guidebook section again even though we wrote that. It's funny, you know, wrote all this stuff and it's good to be reminded of it. Yeah. Alright, so I didn't see anyone else who wanted a card, so we'll start wrapping things up. We've talked about overcoming obstacles, we've talked about achieving your goals, we've talked about so much, we've talked about not having that attitude it's too hard, but rather how hard can it be to learn how to find your own answers, that it's okay to ask, but you're the ultimate decision maker, and we've talked about so many things, including some of the cards that we pulled, like groundedness, invoking a counselor within, expediency, and entropy, of all things. So, you know, that entropy is great. What are you doing to lower your entropy? Are you making a difference in the lives of those within your sphere of influence? And that can be as simple as a smile and a good morning, a cheerful good morning. You know, it all boils down to doing no harm and to doing right. Those are the important things. Now, a couple of quick notes. Next week is going to be the day before Thanksgiving in the U.S., so we're going to not have a program for that night so we don't conflict with people's plans. And we'll be back the following week, but we probably are likely going to take at least 2 weeks off in December, the latter part of the month, but we'll keep you updated on it. I appreciate everybody's time and attention tonight. Thank you for joining us. And if you know of anybody who would also appreciate this, then please let them know about metaphysical humanism, about ICMH, about IMHS, the school. And if you're a student and you need encouragement, you know, contact me. We'll help. We can talk on the phone. Of course, Tracy's always great for encouraging and upbuilding. So Anyway, folks, we appreciate everything. Thank you to Michael for helping out more tonight. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.